And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Radio Web Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell. Good to be with you again this Monday, August the 15th. And again, the world continues to move in our direction. The attention given to Cindy Sheehan has increased and is increasing not only in the United States, but all over the world. And the fact that she is now saying exactly the same things that I have said since the beginning, and even before the beginning of this war, only makes it more important for our point of view and for our cause. I think this woman is absolutely brave and courageous. Since, of course, she began talking about the real reasons for the war, the reasons which, of course, are obvious to anyone who dares to look into the question. This war was orchestrated by the so-called neocons, which are nothing more than a conservative cabal of Jewish supremacists who put Israel over the United States of America. As I've talked about many times before, Richard Perle, Douglas Feith, collaborated on a paper, in fact, called A Clean Break, A Strategy for Securing the Realm. The realm they were talking about was Israel. The paper was written not for the United States of America, but for Benjamin Netanyahu, and it talks about subduing Iraq and Syria in a war. That's precisely what they pursued, and that's precisely now what we have. We have a war that's being waged and fought for Israel. But it's being fought with American blood, American treasure, and the loss of American goodwill around the world, and increasing hatred and terrorism against our country. Cindy Sheehan said it so well. She said, you know, 9/11 was not about what Bush and others claimed it was. It was not about them hating our democracy or our way of life or anything else like that. It was the fact that they hated our policy in the Middle East. In other words, in their region of the world, in their own countries. And isn't that natural, ladies and gentlemen? Would we not oppose Arabia or any other society or power coming and building military bases in our country, trying to control us, trying to dictate to us the kind of policies we should have? Of course not. And you know, our country was founded by very wise and great men who almost unanimously said that America needs to steer clear of foreign alliances and stand up first and foremost for the rights and the privileges and the inheritance, the great inheritance of the American people. Well, obviously, we've forsworn all that today. In fact, George Washington's famous goodbye address was based on keeping America out of foreign entanglements. And now we're in one heck of an entanglement, aren't we, in Iraq. Close to 1,900 dead now. Who knows how many wounded? The government won't come clean about it, but it's somewhere between 25 and 35,000 Americans maimed, crippled, wounded, blinded, disfigured, you know, harmed in a way that they will feel and they will know and they will experience and suffer from the rest of their lives as well as their loved ones. It's just an incredible process that we're going through right now in this country. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that Cindy Sheehan was dishonoring her dead son and dishonoring those who died in Iraq. No, ladies and gentlemen. Those who dishonored those dead Americans are those who sent them in to a war, not for America, but for a foreign country that has an ironclad grip on our Congress and on our government, and that nation's Israel. Those people who sold out the interests, the heritage, the values, the ideals of this country, they're the ones who should feel ashamed. Thank God we have a courageous woman willing to stand up and tell the truth about this matter. And we are going to be sending her lots of emails and some certainly some significant support in the future from our people that support us in terms of getting her message out, because she needs her help, and she's doing just a fantastic job in just letting the American people know what's really up with this war. And that's truly the way, the only way it's really going to affect people, you know, is that people have to begin to put themselves in the shoes of someone who lost a son in that battle, that war, who lost a daughter in that war. You've got to start to put yourself in those shoes. And when you do that, maybe you can realize what's going on. I know a lot of parents will say, yeah, that, you know, Harvard for you or Princeton for you or whatever, but I'm going to stretch it out for you so you can stay in ROTC till you graduate too. That's not at all what's going to happen. If those boys, like those congressmen, you know, out of all the congressmen, I think they only have one serving in Iraq. And if those congressmen's children were serving in Iraq, I bet you they would have a very different policy as to that war. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go right to some of the emails and Stormfront posts. We had some fantastic responses yesterday, and I was really impressed by the tremendous amount of letters and emails, and I'm so glad that you all really enjoyed the program, because it really it's making a big impact. I wanted to read a piece of mail by Cindy Sheehan to all you, to all the people of this country. And talking about how that this is George Bush's accountability moment. This is what she writes. She says, "This is George Bush's accountability moment. That's why I'm here. The mainstream media aren't holding him accountable. Neither is Congress. So I'm not leaving Crawford until he's held accountable. It's ironic, given the attacks leveled at me recently, how some of the media are so quick to scrutinize and distort the words and actions of a grieving mother, but not the words and actions of the President of the United States. But now it's time for him to level with me and with the American people. I think that's why there's been such an outpouring of support. This is giving the 61% of Americans who feel that the war is wrong something to do, something that allows their voices to be heard. It's a way for them to stand up and show that they do want our troops home, and that they know this war is a mistake they want to see corrected. It's too late to bring back the people who are already dead, but there are tens of thousands of people still in harm's way. There is too much at stake to worry about our own egos. When my son was killed, I had to face the fact that I was somehow also responsible for what happened. Every American that allows this to continue has, to some extent, blood on his hands. Some of us have a little bit. Some of us are soaked in it. People have asked what it is I want to say to President Bush. Well, my message is a simple one. He said that my son and the other children we've lost died for a noble cause. I want to find out exactly what that noble cause is. And I want to ask him, it was such a noble cause. Have you asked your daughters to enlist? Have you encouraged them to go take the place of soldiers who were on their third tour of duty? I also wanted him to stop using my son's name to justify the war. The idea that we have to complete the mission in Iraq to honor Casey's sacrifice is, to me, a sacrilege to my son's name. Besides, does the president any longer even know what the mission really is over there? Casey knew that the war was wrong from the beginning, but he felt it was his duty to go, that his buddies were going, and that he had no choice. The people who send their young, honorable, brave soldiers to die in this war have no skin in the game. They don't have any loved ones in harm's way. As for people like O'Reilly and Hannity and Michelle Malkin and Rush Limbaugh and all the others who are attacking me and parroting the administration line that we must complete the mission there, they don't have a thing at stake. They don't suffer through sleepless nights worrying about their loved ones. Before all this started, I used to think that one person couldn't make a difference. But now I see that one person who has the backing and support of millions of people can make a huge difference. That's why I'm going to be out there until one of three things happens. It's August 31st and the president's vacation ends and he leaves Crawford. They take me away in a squad car, or he finally agrees to speak with me. If he does, he better be prepared to hold his feet to the fire. If he starts talking about freedom and democracy, or about how the war in Iraq is protecting America, I'm not going to let him get away with it. Like I said, this is George Bush's accountability moment. What a letter. This lady has a lot of guts. A lot of guts. Okay, let me go on to some of the more recent posts. And again, you can go to stormfront.org and make your posts and comments and thoughts and questions. And I'm looking forward to seeing them, reading them, thinking about them, and having many other thousands of people out there also see them and hear them and experience your ideas and thoughts about these important issues. Absolutely. All right, let's go forward. And I read the poem of Cindy Sheehan yesterday. And all righty, let's go. This is from 14 Words of Truth. And he says, you cannot see anything about a single Jew or the Jewish people, especially if it's true, no matter who you are. Singer and political activist Harry Belafonte made some unfavorable comments about the current political situation and the neocon Bush agenda. And no less than Abraham Foxman, national director of the ADL, denounced them in a hateful and derogatory way. Harry Belafonte was surprised by the venomous attack of Foxman, especially in the light of the fact that he's married to a Jew, his children are Jewish, he's received many awards and accolades from Jewish organizations, performed for the Israeli army, and his brother was a volunteer slave on an Israeli kibbutz. But it really does not matter who you are or what you say, especially if it's true, and the Jews don't want to hear it. Well, that's true. And Ryan Beck says, well, they especially don't want anyone else to hear it. Well, that's certainly true. Okay, excuse the cough there. Tried to hit the mute button, but I seem to have missed it. But I'm back on course again. All right, been a long day. Been meeting lots of people, and it's much later here than where you are. It's actually about 11 o'clock in the evening now here, as compared to about 3 o'clock, close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast of the United States. This is a post about China and Taiwan and Russia. You know, I think it's interesting, but I don't know if that's necessarily the issue that we have here. This is from David Fellows. He says, India and China are already a potent force to challenge the U.S.-Euro axis. Now add Russia, Iran, and a few countries in South America, and you have a real force to reckon with. On the other hand, I pity any country like Russia opening up its economy and everything else to Western capitalism. Just look at what the Jewish oligarchs were able to achieve in a few years when they tried that. Now poor Germany thinks it too must open up to global capitalism. What a terrible mistake. I can already see the locusts coming in to clean up as they did in Russia. Our economic system, like our media, is in the hands of the greedy. First they empower themselves with our money, then they set about using it to shape the country to suit themselves. Capitalism gave them the kickstart they needed to achieve everything in a lifetime. Hopefully countries like Russia, China, and Iran can hold out and resist all the U.S. media brainwashing and the threats which is seeking to lead them into the land of capitalist exploitation, which we know only too well is just a prelude to their main act of destruction. Okay, this is from Mary Kelly, and she's got a picture of the poster from No War for Israel, which is, by the way, a site that we sponsor and we help create. So if you ever want to see a good anti-Israeli site, that's the where to go, nowarforisrael.com. Thank you so much, Mr. Duke, for bringing Cindy Sheehan's story here. Whether or not she's a self-proclaimed white nationalist or not, she is helping our people and our cause. I wrote you a while back about my almost 14-year-old son listening to your show and my own concerns about the war and his future. Sheehan is fighting many battles on many levels. I'm sure it is personal to her because of losing her boy to the horrific lies and the alliance of evil with Israel, which pretty much blows away any axis of evil, by the way. But I would already bet she already sees that it all ties together, whether or not she chooses to self-identify as a nationalist. Well, you know, it's not really important whether she self-identifies as a nationalist or not. She's expressing issues and ideas that that we have spread so diligently on this website and that I've been talking about for years. And, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost. We're getting those ideas out, and people are eating them up, and they're beginning to understand what's really happening and transpiring in this war. This war is much like the First and Second World War. There was a lot of Zionist influence in both those wars, and this war is a more totally influenced Zionist war than any war in history. And they weren't able to even get the rest of the world against it because it was so obviously a Zionist war, a war for Israel, and not for the true interests of security of either America or Europe or Britain or any other country of the world. In fact, this war has already cost Britain many troops, and certainly it cost Britain the absolutely terrible situation with the bombing of their metro system recently and the attempted bombing, and I imagine there'll be more to come. Dream State. Mr. Duke, what do you think of member John Joy Tree's white nationalist position statements? Are these ideals that could be carved in stone, so to speak, in regard to the white nationalist movement? I read through them the other day, and you know, I liked them. I don't know if they should be carved in stone or not. I might have some disagreements with some of them and some aspects of them, but I did like them, and I think that they're valuable to us. Anytime someone starts articulating these ideas and starts expressing some views on these ideas, I think it's, you know, I think it's very healthy and good for us. And I think it continues that, you know, that road building that we're trying to do for our people, both in the United States and around the world. Let's go to some emails real quick before our time runs out. Our time is already running low. Let's see what we got here. All right. Let's see. Okay. Here I got a letter attacking me and Cindy Sheehan. Well, I can expect that. He's talking about the Joshua. Somebody's talking about the Joshua Key story, which illustrates the difficulty of what's happening in terms of Iraq with the American people and educating them on it. And this is to David. He says, "I agree with you on protecting the Mexican-American border. I like the little diversity, but these Spanish-speaking Aztec Indians have totally inundated and supersaturated the entire Southwest, and now it's happening in the rest of the U.S., which is why now even the Jewish media reporting the problem." Well, they're doing it to an extent. Latino-loving Bush doesn't care. I say let's never have a Tiano president again. Regards. Okay, cool. See what else we have here. This man's tried a couple times to confirm subscriptions to newspapers and failed. Let's try to receive it. And we do have a subscription. Subscriptions, of course, to the web broadcast subscription, which comes out occasionally, is free. You can go to the website and put your email address in. And the subscriptions, of course, to David Duke a print newsletter is available on the website, and that cost is $35 a year or $50 for a 3-year contribution, which is a very good deal. Okay, what else we got? Another award notification, more media baloney, huh? And I tell you, the emails come in hot and heavy all the time, and the spam continues to increase. But I think I'd rather have spam than the government trying to coordinate it and so-called protect people from it. That's for sure. All right. So let me see what we got here. All right. I think we are done with emails for right now. I know I've got a few more there, and I'm going to go hit Stormfront 1 second, and then I think I'm going to call today and hit the hay. I've got a big day tomorrow. A lot of activities going on over here, and I've got a lot more writing to do. You might check out the Stormfront Town Hall section. And Charles A. Lindbergh has some pictures of some of the very ancient graves in Germany. And it shows you that even many thousands of years, the German people were very sophisticated in their quality of their art and beauty of their landscape. And we could still be using these facilities today that they have built thousands of years ago, except for the flooding. And if you clean them out, and got out all the stones and the irregular bricks and the other things that are clogging these areas from historical misuse, you could still use it today. It's amazing the technological abilities of our forefathers. Our people just seem to have sprang upon the earth with this incredible ability. And I can tell you that all the people that I talk to here are very impressed with what Stormfront's doing, and they're very impressed with what the webmasters and support team that we have at DavidDuke.com has been doing. So keep up the good work. Let me hear from you. Send me an email before your favorite part of the day with these programs goes by. And all I can say to that is God bless, and take care of yourself, all of you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. We're going to go to our closing music, and I will see you again tomorrow.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.